Support for the Commodity Week podcast comes from Strategic Farm Marketing in Champaign with crop insurance, grain marketing, and commodity brokerage services. Details at sfarmmarketing.com. And by ADM, their FarmerView mobile site features up-to-date futures, weather, market commentary, and local bids, and offers customers access to contracts, deliveries, and payments at adm.com/farmerview.
From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the December 6th edition of Commodity Week. The United States Department of Agriculture next Tuesday will update the world agricultural supply and demand estimates. We'll try to divine just exactly what it will show today on Commodity Week.
Todd Gleason services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Welcome to Commodity Week. I am Todd Gleason. Later in this half hour, we'll talk with Joe Vaklovic at Standard Grain out of Chicago, Illinois. Our panelists today include Brian Stark of the Andersons from right here in Champaign County, Kurt Kimmel of Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois, and Dan Zwicker from CGB Enterprises in Mandeville, Louisiana. Commodity Week is a production of Illinois Public Media. Find us online at willag.org. That's willag.org.
Support for agricultural programs comes from AgriGold and their newest AgriGold Giant 107-day A6408, available for 2014 in Roundup Ready and also VT Triple Pro Rib. More information on A6408, including yield and dry down data, is at AgriGold.com. And by ADM, their FarmerView mobile site features up-to-date futures, weather, market commentary, and local bids, and offers ADM customers access to contracts, deliveries, and payments. Available at adm.com/farmerview.
Well, let's start our discussion, gentlemen, this afternoon with this question. Corn futures posted a positive week, at least technically. I'm wondering whether you think the marketplace is truly positive or not. And we'll start with you, Brian Stark.
Well, I think at this point we've still been choppy, even with the technical reversal or bias that we saw this week. As we move forward, it's still funds are reluctant to own the marketplace with so much length that the farmer holds. I know one of the things that we've talked about is the funds potentially rebalancing the first part of January as much as a half a billion bushels, but you have to understand that the American farmer is still long 10 billion. So I think we're still locked in a range for me going forward.
Kurt Kimmel?
Yeah, we feel it's encouraging from the technical point of view. The key is to get some follow-through buying, but Brian touched on the funds being huge shorts. We feel that there is going to be some short covering here as we move through the month of December. Seasonally, traditionally, we see strength going in through the month of December here. So producer-wise, I don't know if they're really going to be a seller till after the calendar turns 2014. It's awful hard to get them to sell until minimum storage is up or they feel comfortable emptying the bin they just filled up. So we feel corn could, you know, move 20, 25 cents higher from here, but with the huge inventory out there, it'll be a sell because as you go to these farm shows, main question is, what should I do? I haven't sold anything.
And Dan Zwicker.
Well, you know, a weekly reversal during the first week of December is a good start on a monthly reversal to the upside. So I think, you know, what it tells us here today or this week is that maybe the fundamentals as we go forward will be more price positive than negative. I think for the most part, you know, these big consulting firms that a lot of people follow are also bearish. They can't see straight. So I think we've got a community of thought throughout the trade that this market can't do anything, and they're mostly working the short side of the market, going to be, you know, trying to hedge in the carry charges and every not, especially in corn. And I guess I'm more in the opinion that a lot of this super bearishness is really not warranted. I think corn has done what it needed to do. It's dropped half in value, a little bit more than half in value from its all-time highs. Export demand we've seen a pickup of export demand. Ethanol profitability is very strong, so the ethanol plant is grinding away, and you're going to see more and more livestock numbers go back on feed. You're going to see a lot of poultry expansion. So I think the demand base is growing. It needed what it needed to do. So I guess I want to be positive to the point that this weekly reversal that we posted this week is a start of maybe something a little better to come.
You think it may be the start of something better to come? It might be important to note at this point that the monthly reversal that was put in December last year did portend much lower prices eventually. And I suppose if we were to put in a monthly reversal this time, and I wonder how much of a percentage chance you would put on that, would it portend much higher prices?
Well, I mean, if you go back in history, there's been 2 years that we went back-to-back with January highs, and that was the, I think, 84, 85. That was the year when we had probably a year's worth of supply in carryover, and that was when we started to pull the plug on the loan rate and started going into what we call market clearing levels. And that basically sank prices then into the 1986 lows, where we saw corn futures, you know, go down as low as $1.50 or below. I'm not too sure we're going to go back to back this year. The odds, when you look at long-term seasonal tendencies, basically tells you that you only have about a 10% chance of putting in a January high. So you have about a 90% chance that the high is going to come after January. Now, so you'll just have to take, I think, 1 week at a time. I'm not too sure that the January crop production numbers are going higher. But if you talk to anybody on the fundamental side, they think they're all going higher. I'm not too sure USDA has the acreage right yet. So I still think smaller acreages are coming. I think the fact that the market hasn't gone as low as the bear has wanted it to go over the past 3 months tells you that maybe the supply isn't there.
Kurt, when you look forward to next Tuesday's USDA reports, is it the ending stocks number that makes much of a difference? And the average trade guess is $1.864 billion. USDA's November estimate was $1.877.
I think from a simplicity point of view, you got to focus on the bottom line. As Dan mentioned, acreage, then you look at yield, and is the export news really going to be that strong? Are we really going to see corn exports double? There's a lot of moving parts still in the supply-demand balance sheet itself, and so we feel from a producer or a simplicity point of view of a trader, the bottom line is what you got to watch. And we feel it's virtually going to be about unchanged. We don't foresee, a big 2 billion bushel carry out just yet. As long as it could stay under 2 billion bushel, I think that gives us fundamental optimism that, we're still got large supplies to go through, but not real burdensome as 2 billion bushel would be.
Just as a reminder, this week, December corn finished with a top at $4.30, a bottom at $4.10. That was up 8.75 on the week at $4.24, even on its settlement price. Brian Stark, when you look forward, normally what months would you bring in most corn, and how much lower do you think the price will be by then?
Well, most months you would say your second harvest season is January, February, March. I think the interesting thing this year is going to be how long does the American farmer wait to find a price that he likes to sell. And them being cash rich right now, and the fact that a lot of them that had revenue insurance even got decent payment, even with trend line yields because of the price decline, allows them to prolong those decisions. And they may wait longer, depending on whether we get a 20 or 25 cent rally, to liquidate. I mean, one comment we've said in our kind of shop is that maybe the lows of price don't necessarily, at least the cheapest corn you buy, may not be in the fall, but next summer. if we don't see some sort of a weather scare with the 2014 crop, when the producer could be long potentially two crops.
Yeah, I was thinking about that and looking forward to the December of next year numbers at $4.63¾ on the week. That finished 9.5 cents higher, and it too posted an outside up week. It's also a premium of about, but not quite, 40 cents to the old crop December. Is that, in your opinion, a sale? And maybe it is, given what you've said.
Yeah, I would say if you reach up into that 470 to 475 area, we've encouraged guys to start look at potentially locking it in, because we just don't see corn acreage dropping as much as people like Informa have suggested. I think you could see 2 to 3 million acres lower, but from all our contacts, you know, especially in Illinois, guys like to grow corn, and I think we're not going to see as much switch to soybeans as we initially thought.
Dan, what do you think about the switch?
Well, I think it's still yet to come. I mean, the front month is 3 to 1 or 3.2 to 1, so it does favor soybeans, and we are seeing the expansion of soybeans in South America over corn. So South America again is going to plant less corn and more beans. Now, when you take a look at the U.S. and you look at new crop December corn and new crop November soybeans, the ratio is closer to 2.5 to 1. That's kind of a neutral number. The extremes are when you get down to 2 to 1, that favors corn. When you get to 3 to 1, it favors soybeans. But again, it kind of depends upon the quality of ground you have, the climate that you're necessarily in. If you're in a warmer climate or a good climate, I don't think it's necessarily going to switch a lot of corn or switch corn out to soybeans in the flat and black dirt of the Corn Belt. I think you probably have to get closer to 3 to 1 if you're going to do that. But I do think it's switching it out in the marginal acres. I was with a group of producers more in the southern areas of the Corn Belt, and at $4 corn, it just is not worth the risk in the marginal areas, so you're going to see a lot of soybeans, I think, planted in the marginal acres. And, of course, that ratio will have a lot to say with what the ultimate size of the South American crop is. But at 2.5 to 1, you know, it's kind of it is moving some acres, and I agree with Brian that it probably hasn't moved the acres that Informa Economics says it has, but we're still in the process of defining the 2014 growing season.
Kurt Kimmel, as we look forward to the WASDE figures and then the crop production numbers that are due out in January, and we think about soybeans, which, by the way, this week had a top of $13.46 and a bottom at $13.11¼. They were off 11 cents at $13.25½. Is it the export market and the South American crop that makes the big difference? Are there things that are happening domestically that are holding the price of beans higher here in the United States?
Well, I think it's obvious. I think the producer, American farmer, sold all of his beans this fall. It's typically the way the market goes up. So I think, the demand for the beans has remained robust, relatively strong. We're seeing crushing margins start to increase in through here when you look at the crush from last month and possibility raising the crush estimate on this next report. There's still some pent-up demand here up front. We feel it's overall front-end loaded, and once we get into this February-March time window, if Southern Hemisphere continues to have favorable weather, barring no political unrest or disturbance in the Southern Hemisphere, we'll see those beans hit the world market, and we'll see China wash out sales and buy cheaper South American beans. Right now, I think they're about a dollar discount, so it makes economic sense to, see that demand shift to the Southern Hemisphere once we get in February.
Brian, is he right? Has the American farmer sold most of his beans?
I would say for the vast majority, that's true. Touching on Kurt's comments, I mean, we've already committed and sold 95% of our
export number. So as you look forward to Tuesday, I think you will see some sort of an increase in the export demand, which could tighten us even more. But yet we've kind of struggled as we traded up towards that 1350 mark this week. And it seems like the spreads and the basis have kind of forced some of that movement into the pipeline here in the short term, at least from a commercial perspective.
And one final question, Brian, this one's for you as well, and the Andersons, because you deal with ethanol. What's your thought process about the updated numbers the U.S. EPA has proposed? Will it make much of a difference?
I don't think it makes much of a difference here. I think that's the biggest thing. As you look forward, there's going to be opportunities as good as the margins are for export, and I think that's kind of what you focus on. I think the biggest hindrance we see is the fact that we're so close to getting the ethanol industry into getting more buy-in to E85. And I think as far as that goes, you're not going to change necessarily the usage of corn as much as you may hinder the ability of expanding E85 in the marketplace.
You, of course, are listening to Commodity Week. It is a production of Illinois Public Media. You can find us online. Our panelists include Brian Stark, who you just heard, from the Andersons from right here in Champaign County, Kurt Kimmel of Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois, and Dan Zwicker from CGB Enterprises. He's in Mandeville, Louisiana. When we return, we'll talk with Joe Vaclavec of Standard Grain out of Chicago, Illinois.
I'm meteorologist Ed Kieser with a look at the weather for corn and soybean production in South America. Our focus this week remains on Argentina because corn planting is way behind average and the window of opportunity for corn planting will soon be closing. Progress was made in the past week as rain stayed away from key production areas of corn in and near Cordoba and Santa Fe. It's now a race to get in as much corn as possible before rain returns, and that will be soon. A frontal system is expected to trigger heavy rain across Argentina Sunday and Monday, effectively ending corn planting. Dry weather will follow during the middle of next week, but periodic rounds of rain should come after that. As mentioned last week, it is likely that some acreage will switch from corn to soybeans. To the north, it has been hot and generally dry across a large portion of center-west Brazil and Paraguay in recent weeks, especially around Mato Grosso do Sul. Even so, subsoil moisture remains at least adequate in most areas. The evolving weather pattern is favorable for some rounds of significant rain starting early next week. Almost all of Brazil's crop areas should pick up decent rainfall over the next week and a half. The bottom line, growing conditions going forward into mid-December should be fine across most of Argentina and Brazil. Aside from delays to corn planting in Argentina, there are no troublesome weather issues looming in South American production areas at this time. For Commodity Week, I'm meteorologist Ed Kieser.
Support for agricultural programs comes from AgriGold and their newest AgriGold Giant 107-day A6408, available for 2014 in Roundup Ready and also VT Triple Pro Rib. More information on A6408, including yield and dry down data, is at AgriGold.com. And by ADM. Their FarmerView mobile site features up-to-date futures, weather, market commentary, and local bids. Available at adm.com/farmerview.
This is the December 6th edition of Commodity Week. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. Our panelists today include Kurt Kimmel from Bates Commodities, Dan Zwicker from CGB Enterprises, and Brian Stark of the Andersons from Chicago, Illinois, and Standard Grain. Joe Vaclavec now joins us to take a look at the marketplace. Joe, thanks for taking the time with us. Could you tell me what the feeling is in Chicago about the rebalancing of the index funds and whether it will make much of a difference and how that happens?
I wouldn't say that that's the most heavily talked about topic here as of late. I think that there's certainly a community of traders that believe that you will see some rebalancing, which would certainly involve, potentially buying some corn on the managed money side, but then you've got index funds that are always long everything that they have to sell. So I don't really know how that balances out. I think that fundamentally, the fundamentals here, supply and demand, will have a lot more to do with the market action over the next 4 to 6 weeks.
Joe, in next week's report there, one thing we've been kind of watching is the corn export. Do you believe we're really going to regain our share of the corn export market?
Yeah, I do. I think that corn exports, even right now, their most recent number at 1.4 billion could be even a little bit low. I see this scenario here where the world hasn't seen cheap corn in a long, long time. And the U.S. is the world's biggest supplier of corn. And I just envision a scenario where these major importers are going to want to make up some ground that they've lost here over the last couple of years. You know, versus the $7 and $8 corn that we saw during 2012 and during the drought, I see this $4 price and, you know, it's a little bit more for them shipped, but, I see that as being really attractive. So I do believe that these exports hold up. And I think that unlike beans, I don't think you're going to see any big cancellations. I think if anything, they're going to get better.
Hey, Joe, staying with exports for a minute, given your thought process of getting better, what's the trade's concern over China's rejection of corn imports and the fact that we've still got 3 million metric ton to ship them?
It seems to me like it's more of an administrative thing more than anything. The last couple of tidbits I've read about that kind of, you know, explain that they're trying to get this situation ironed out. It's this one particular Syngenta variety, I believe, that was rejected a couple of different times. So as of now, I'm going to say it's not a big deal, but maybe something that turns into a bigger deal. I wish I knew more about the Chinese customs process, but unfortunately, I think that's about all I got for you.
Yeah, Joe, how do you think, what are you suggesting to your farmer-type clients on how to approach the whole 2014 marketing year?
It's scary business right now. I mean, you look at this D14 corn market, and, you know, a corn operation, you know, anywhere in Illinois or Iowa or Indiana, for that matter, if you've got high rents, you've got high input costs, you're probably looking at losses next year given current prices. The beans look a little bit better. The one word that I haven't heard yet is risk, and I think that despite the fact that maybe we're getting a little bit more optimistic here in terms of the market, you know, we're talking about upside reversal in the corn market, and that's all well and good, but there is just a phenomenal amount of risk here. I mean, you know, to start off with the soybeans, you know, let's assume that South America puts out another record crop. Let's assume that we gain 4 or 5 million acres here in the U.S. You could see a carryout build in that 14-15 marketing year, that could be very, very substantial for beans. For corn, you know, we can afford to lose 5 or 6 million acres of corn. And if you assume that we have normal weather patterns next year and we end up with another 160, 165 corn yield, you're going to see ending stocks expand there, too, in a very significant way. So the problem that I see now is that there's not any magic solution to fix these margins. You can't just flip the switch and make growing corn profitable next year at current levels. The beans, you've got a little bit better chance here to lock in some profitability. I think that there's a number of growers in the Corn Belt right now that are going to be able to grow beans profitably at current levels. But I think that risk management now is going to be more important than ever, and I know that that's something that we talk about all the time and it's talked about all the time on the show, but, you know, guys are really going to have to get back to doing some marketing here the next couple of years because, you know, the last 2 or 3 years bailed everybody out, but I think that this next couple of years could be a little bit different.
Joe, a month from now, the United States Department of Agriculture will release the grain stocks report as of the first day of December. I'm wondering what you think the feed and residual number might look like.
Well, the feed number's tricky because I think I see some expansion in poultry and in hogs, but the cattle numbers still kind of, I guess I still have some concern there. I don't necessarily know that that's where we're going to see any big increases in demand from here on out. They upped it by 100 million bushels on their last report. I don't know that one gets a lot bigger. I see the number for ethanol and for exports potentially expanding a little bit here. The feed number in particular, I don't know if we see it move a whole lot.
Joe, you mentioned risk management. What's your top risk management strategy going forward here into the winter?
Okay, well, if you look at the corn market, and I guess that's probably what people are most concerned about, I think that as you guys mentioned earlier, you know, there's a lot of farmers out there that don't have enough done with this old crop, not to mention this 2014 deal. So either way, I mean, is there a great way to do it right now at low price? No, there isn't. I mean, we can't put $5.50 or $6 corn back on the board as much as I'd like to be able to do that. So I'm not always the biggest proponent of it, but I actually really like option strategies here. Option volatility is a way that option prices are measured, essentially, and volatility is very low right now, meaning that options relative to where they normally are fairly inexpensive. So if you're going to store corn out into, you know, July to capture that carry, I think that you've got to put some kind of floor under it. If you're, you know, planning on sticking with a lot of corn acres in 2014, I think you've got to put some kind of floor under it and hope that you get some kind of rally that'll allow you to make some cash sales at some better levels and do a little bit better and hopefully maintain profitability. But I honestly like the put options here as well as anything.
Joe, switching to old beans, we have a potentially the very similar tight carry out if you look at our pace of export sales up to this point that we did last year, yet we're probably about a dollar below the range of where we were last year. And obviously that maybe that has something to do with the expectations of a big crop, but what are your price targets of where you think old beans January, March futures can trade?
I think it's a total wild card. I think anything can happen. As you guys mentioned, I don't believe there's a ton of farmer length in old crop beans right now. You know, the market told you out of the field this past fall to sell beans, store corn. I think that's what most people did. So until this South American crop becomes available for shipment, I think that the upside in this old crop bean market could be substantial. I mean, you could easily see January or March beans trade $14. I don't see any inability there of those contracts to do that. In the same breath, I'll say, as you guys did, that these cancellations from China are probably coming at some point in time. And it's probably a matter of when, not a matter of if. It's a matter of how much. And this is all dependent on what kind of crop we get out of Brazil and Argentina. Do we deal with infrastructure issues again? Do they have trouble getting the crop out of the country? I think there's some upside there, but I'm not overly bullish either. I think it's the biggest wild card on the board right now are these old crop bean contracts.
Joe, what would be your upside target for a farmer to let go of some old crop corn in here?
Well, I'm looking at the March contract right now, and just some real simple technical stuff. You've got some retracement levels that come in around 457, another one around 469. You've got a 100-day moving average around 462. Anywhere in that 450 to 460 area, I think, would be a really nice sale. We had some highs in that area in October, which ended up being a really good sale if you were able to do some there. I think that would be a nice objective. You know, we may get some follow-through from this reversal we put in this week. We may get a friendly report, and that might be enough to push this thing up a little bit more, another 15, 20 cents. And I think that would be a good opportunity.
Joe, thanks so much for taking the time with us today.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it, guys.
Joe Vaclavic is with Standard Grain out of Chicago, Illinois. Now a final word from our panelists. We'll start with you, Brian Stark of the Andersons.
Just keep in mind that as we move forward to the end of the year, there may be some upside potential on corn. So place some open offers above the market and hope that they get hit.
Kurt Kimmel of Bates Commodities.
Yeah, like Brian's idea, has some upside targets to shoot for. But probably what's more important is with the historic weather event we saw here going into the weekend, be sure to be safe out there.
And Dan Zwicker of CGB Enterprises.
Well, this is my last commodity week, I guess, for the year. And I would want to wish everyone a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year and enjoy the cold temperatures this winter. I'll be thinking about you when I'm down south.
Thanks to our panelists, including Dan Zwicker, Kurt Kimmel, and Brian Starks. That does wrap up this edition of Commodity Week. Something to keep in mind, Commodity Week in the new year will have a new time. We'll record, not recording, but live at 2:36 each and every day on our radio station, Friday that is. And you can hear it probably by about 4 o'clock. Up on our website at willag.org. That's willag.org. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason.